Good morning, Hope College! It's Friday!
Hey, Mark, it is Friday, and what is special about today?
We got some juniors visiting us today.
Welcome, juniors! We are glad that you're here to be in worship with us this morning. And also, hey, I want to recognize some people who often are not recognized and seen here in our worshiping life, but they are a vital part of our life here. And that is our very own students who faithfully run the tech crew here for us. This week, our staff person's been on vacation, so it's been all students. They are awesome, and the reason you don't notice them so much is because you really only notice tech people when they mess up, and ours don't really mess up a lot. So we are grateful for them. One last announcement. On Wednesday, we found out about relief efforts that we can participate in for everything that's happening in Japan. And I know some of you probably are aware that they just had another earthquake a couple days ago. So this upcoming week, if you would like to give a monetary gift, starting Sunday night in chapel, we will have buckets out for that. You can also go to Martha Miller and in the Office of Multicultural Education. And we're also collecting plastic spoons and forks that some of our students who are going over in May will be able to easily transport as a tangible thing and a needed thing over there right now. So we encourage you to participate. The other exciting thing about Friday today is we have another one of our senior witnesses. Mark Mares is going to speak with us this morning, and I'm excited to hear what he has to share with us. And I'm going to pray for him, and then we'll hear what he has to say. God, we are grateful for days like this, even when it's rainy and cloudy, because we get to come together and worship you. And I am grateful for students like Mark, who are willing to share of how you are working in his life. God, thanks for the gift of story. Thanks for speaking to us through stories, and just give us ears now to hear you speaking through Mark. And we pray this all through Christ. Amen. Hey, let's welcome him again.
Have you ever experienced a moment when something you've believed your whole life came into question? It was fall semester of my sophomore year. I was taking a Religion 100 seminar. With the warm weather of summer quickly fading away and the colors of fall settling in, my professor decided to have class out in the Pine Grove. The class discussion that day was to be centered around a vision of God's good future. We would be discussing how an Orthodox Christian eschatology speaks not of the destruction of earth, but rather its renewal and restoration. As we gathered our things to head outside, my professor remarked to another student, "When Christ returns, I don't want to be swept away from earth. I want to be left here." Not sure if I had heard right, I asked my friend, "Did he just say he wanted to be left behind?" To which my friend affirmed that I had indeed heard correctly. Now, maybe to some of you, this was what you were taught to, but not me. I grew up in a small Spanish-speaking Pentecostal church just a few blocks from here, and a lot of what I was taught was rooted in the notion that we need to be saved from sin and rescued from earth so that we would be swept up to heaven by God in the rapture. So to hear my professor say that he wanted to be left behind surprised me, to say the least. What was he talking about? That's wrong. I wondered, what am I doing in this class? This small seed of doubt began to crumble the foundation of everything I had always believed. Was everything else I had been taught wrong too? It was a question I then wrestled with for a long time after that. I left the church I had grown up in, and the doubt I had started to push me away from everything I knew. It was as though I lost my identity, or at least I was afraid I would. Growing up, there were three constants in my life: church, family, and music. And they were all intertwined. I come from a pretty musical family. My father played the guitar. One of my older brothers played the drums. My other brother played the piano, and my sister sang. And when I was old enough, I joined in on percussion too. We led worship at our church. We had services 4 times a week. Every Sunday, we went to one of my grandma's house for Sunday soup. And like I said, it was always church, family, and music. But as we all know, life moves along. My sister married and moved away to start a church with her husband, and one of my brothers left to be a full-time pastor at another church here. And then I came to Hope. Handling all these changes, coming to Hope, was something I had to deal with, and I did the best I could. But when doubt in what I believe settled in, what seemed like that just might be the tipping point. At a time when I began to question my faith, I often found it easier to push God away. I wondered, though, could something so small as this really cause me to question my faith? I was reminded of a song that we sung in my church. It's in Spanish, and the words go like this. Si tuvieras fe como un grano de mostaza, eso lo dice el Señor. Tú le dirías a la montaña, muévete, muévete. Y esa montaña se moverá, se moverá, se moverá. Sound familiar to anyone? It's Matthew 17:20, which reads, He said to them, Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. This song has constantly been a reminder that no matter what challenges come along, and through all the doubt I would have, through my unbelief, I simply had to keep my faith. If you have the smallest but most genuine faith, God can do all things. It is not our own faith that we must trust, but the faithfulness of God. As that course continued, there were 2 things that happened that changed my life. The first was the actual class itself. There was something to this good news of a good future that captured me. The big picture of the Bible wasn't about being rescued from this reality, but rather the restoration of shalom. And the more we talked about this vision of a good future, the more I was drawn in. In Dr. Bauman Prediger's book, For the Beauty of the Earth, he writes, A Christian view of the future is earth-affirming, not earth-denying. We pray in the Lord's Prayer that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We confess in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We sing in the doxology that all creatures here below praise God. This, to me, was truly good news. I fell in love with this vision of a good future. The second thing that happened was conversation. As you already know, my family is very important to me. Aside from the doubt I had felt while being introduced to these new theological truths, I feared that I could lose my family. I already didn't have a church, but I was now starting to think about the Bible differently. At one point or another, I've had conversations with every member of my family, but mostly with my mother. It was how these conversations went that really opened my eyes. One can see that these differences might bring us to a divide, but in fact, they did the opposite. It was not a matter of right and wrong, but about engaging in those conversations. There was something about this doubt and my act of questioning that started to bring everything together. The reason it seemed I had lost my identity and was so afraid was because my whole life, I had been trying to place God in a box. That's where my doubt arose. It's the reason I wanted to take religion courses. I was taking religion courses in the hope that I could figure this out, that I could read some books, engage in discussion, and figure it out on my own, that I could somehow figure God out. This new understanding brought fresh air to my lungs and planted a deep desire to question more and more. In Rob Bell's Velvet Elvis, he writes, Central to the Christian experience is the art of questioning God. Not belligerent, arrogant questions that have no respect for our Maker, but naked, honest, vulnerable, raw questions arising out of the awe that comes from engaging the living God. This resonated with me and helped me to see the problem I was encountering. I was trying to place God in a box. But God is bigger than any box. I realized that I was looking at it the wrong way. John 14:6-7 reads, And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. When people read these words, they're often referring to the verse, to the first line about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. But it was the second line that really spoke to me. By knowing Christ, we can know God, and really, that's all that matters. What I hope that you see by this is that God transcends all things, and to know Jesus is to know God. I'm not questioning whether you know Jesus, but I'm simply asking whether you've put God in a box and sealed God shut. When it comes to questions about theological truths, I think you'll often find that there are other opinions out there based in both scripture and life that promote very different theological ideas that we should also be engaging. Through these experiences, I've seen that doubt can have a positive impact. It caused me to question my faith, but by asking those questions, I've grown stronger. As I found with my family, engaging in those questions has been a blessing. It's enriched my relationship with them. So if you encounter doubt or find yourself trying to place God in a box, don't turn away from your faith. Engage those questions. Humbly bring them to God. And remember, by knowing Christ, we know God. Go in peace.